Now time once again for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's happening around the organisation and, of course, issues and news relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me again this week.
No, hello, Toby, and happy Easter to everyone. I think we're all looking forward to the weekend this week. So, like Easter, it's nice to be here.
Matt, I thought we might start this week with more news about the election bill around blind and partially sighted people being able to vote independently and in secret, as I think on Monday this week saw the handing over of the blind voters count petition, which was signed by, I think, 7,000 people to Michael Gove.
Yes, you know, I've been working on this for months and months, and we've talked about it a lot, you know, last week, particularly because last week we were celebrating the fact that the Lords, you know, had accepted government amendments about including the concepts of voting independently and voting in secret. I think when we spoke last week, that was sort of hot off the press, if you like. I think a week on, you know, we're ever vigilant about making sure we see this through. We want to make sure we're keeping the pressure up. So, yes, we had a group of people, including the local VI cricket team in Michael Gove's constituency in Surrey, came together to sort of, you know, hand the petition over and making a point with VI people living in Michael's constituency, you know, local people, you know, to whom this really matters. So on the one hand, it was a bit of a photo opportunity. On the other hand, clearly it's making a very serious point, trying to make Michael Gove be reminded of the importance of this as we sort of move forward and get the bill pass, which it undeniably will be now in May, and then get that law properly implemented. I mean, we're now really looking forwards to the point at which this gets, you know, becomes law, and electoral officers, returning officers, have to abide by this law. And, you know, what we're looking forward to particularly is the May local election. So that's the next big tranche of sort of elections across the UK, you know, many local councils, you know, up for grabs again. So, you know, lots of people going out to vote, and that gives us another rich opportunity to assess practically how this process is working up and down the country. And we will use that to gather information, which we will go back and recycle back into this process. I think one of the good things that was acknowledged in the Lords and has been put into the sort of bill was the insight that particularly the RNIB brought to bear, and the encouragement for that process to continue, with the insight being provided to keep honing and improving this process. So, you know, for us, we've now got a real focus on the May elections across the UK, so in the devolved nations and in England, to make sure we really sort of notice what's going on, distill the information, and then go from there based on whatever we find.
And there's been some awards for the RNIB this week, and I think some sort of media awards. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. It's great, actually. I mean, winning awards, it sounds a bit superficial, doesn't it? But actually, this really matters, because I think it shows that we're doing some really good work, deserving of recognition. And secondly, I think the fact that people are waking up to the RNIB as an organisation, you know, doing good work, having a point of view, delivering some impactive materials and practical propositions, and people in different sectors noticing that and rewarding the great work that the RNIB does, you know, in particular, you know, doing great work that supports our beneficiaries. You know, that's why we do it. So I think it's great that we are winning awards. And I think the good news about last week's awards, whether they were campaign media awards, which are across the whole of society, it's not just a charity sector thing. And I think just to pick out, we won three. I'm just going to talk to two briefly. One was, you know, we won the Total Communications Award category. I mean, what does that mean, really? Well, it means that, you know, sort of multi, sort of layered, you know, sort of proposition and campaign that was delivered. And we won that award for our Christmas campaign last year, which we've talked about at the time a lot, which included Kira, who's our 12-year-old girl who was in the video, visually impaired, but incredibly dynamic, attractive character. And we, you know, used that material with Kira, particularly talking about letters to Santa, across not only the TV ad on ITV2, but we worked with Metro to have the first wraparound Braille newspaper. We did a whole ton of stuff with Amazon, you know, clearly used that material on social media. And it was a very positive campaign in terms of income generation, which was great, boosted brand awareness, and one in four children who read Braille basically sent letters to Santa, yeah, which is a great result. And so, you know, really good campaign, delighted it was recognised, and you know, we won that against a shortlist which included Channel 4, Guinness and John Lewis's Christmas campaign. So we were in very good company. And then the other one that I just want to highlight was in the Design for Everyone campaign, where we won for the best use of experiential category, best creative idea under £250,000. So we didn't spend that much, but it was sort of small projects. And again, your listeners will remember that last summer in August, we did a What's in Store, which was this sort of pop-up shop in Hammersmith in West London, where we had hidden cameras engaging, you know, filming customers coming in and finding that you couldn't find any writing on the packaging. It was all inaccessible, and making the point that that was the shopping experience that blind and partially sighted people had. That film was seen by 340,000 people, and we had pretty much every UK grocer, FMCG company and packaging company came to the shop, and we've got 17 leads from that campaign. The most obvious at the moment being the NaviLens technology on you know, working with Kellogg's, but there's other brands now rolling this out, and we would hope to have more positive news about that sort of through this year. So that campaign won, and again we were up against some stiff competition from LNER, Subway, UKTV and ASICS. So you know, very proud week last week for winning those two awards.
And we must now briefly just talk a little bit about employment and volunteering, because there are some opportunities here at the RNIB for employees to do some voluntary work. But also there's been some very innovative things that people have been doing as volunteers, especially during the last couple of years during the pandemic.
Yeah, we're really proud of our volunteers. You know, a few thousand people volunteering for us in a variety of things, you know, helping with some of the sort of dialing out, talk and support, tech support, in around reading services, audio books. So, you know, we've got a rich spread of volunteers up and down the country, and through lockdown, some amazing ingenuity shown and commitment of people, you know, moving what had been a sort of physical volunteering commitment, you know, whether tech support that people came to people's homes, moving that to be online, you know, as I say, people finding that they were doing recordings for us at home and those sorts of things. So it was amazing how we kept the volunteering effort going through lockdown. Clearly, we're now pretty much through lockdown, thankfully. So we're really committed to really sort of re-energising, you know, reaffirming our volunteering efforts, you know, with that great group of volunteers that we've got. And a couple of things just to mention in support of that. So we're trying to encourage our own staff to volunteer and get involved in that, because I think it just also, not only it's time committed to the RNIB, but also I think it connects our employees with the volunteering networks and just builds those relationships. So we've got three roles that we're advertising internally for people to spend a bit of time volunteering on as a bit of a pilot scheme to see how it goes. We've got a special interest group facilitator role, we've got a City Box helper role, and we've got a mentoring program buddy role. So we'll see where we get to with people, but I already know one of my direct reports signed up. So I think we're garnering quite a lot of interest in the organisation for people to sign up.
And just before we close, Matt, is there any update at all around the support that the RNIB and other sight loss organisations are doing to help blind and partially sighted people who are caught up in the war in Ukraine, as it's getting, seems to be getting worse every week, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it seems it's going to run on for a bit, isn't it? And it's harrowing pictures on the news every day, pretty much. So, yes, we're working with the VI sector in the UK, so that consortium of charities that we're a member of, and we've been working with the European Blind Union, the EBU, to funnel money out into Eastern Europe. To give you just some real detailed updates on where we are, sort of week on from when we last spoke about it. So we know that the equipment that we sent into the sort of Polish and Romanian societies has arrived. We got a very, you know, for use with refugees. So we got a very positive email this week back from the Poles to say that it arrived, and they'd sort of broken it out and were very appreciative and starting to use it. We had a Teams call with a group in Ukraine last week, and they have been getting together the other Ukrainian groups, helping us amass the people that we should be speaking to inside the Ukraine, because clearly easier for them to sign posters to people we need to speak to, as opposed to us trying to work it out from outside. And so two things from that. One is we've sent a list of equipment that we've translated into Ukrainian for the Ukrainian, you know, societies to determine what they might need. And this first society that we spoke to last week has been doing that, and then they've been extending that, circulating that around the other societies and sort of pinning down who the people are that need to know about this. And I think the next step with that will be we will either have one call with that group of societies or they will confirm the equipment that we could provide. And we've found a route of actually getting that sent into the Ukraine. So you know, that's sort of where we are, you know, materials arriving in Eastern Europe, our contribution still there with the European Blind Union and with the RNIB and other BI charities, you know, sort of reaching into the Ukraine to contact those societies I've mentioned and able to provide equipment when they come back and let us know what they need.
Well, if you have any questions at all relating to sight loss, you can always look on the RNIB website, that's rnib.org.uk, where you'll find a wide wealth of information and advice. And you can also call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can even ask your Amazon device to call the RNIB by asking Lady A to give us a call. Well, Matt, thank you very much indeed for chatting with me again here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Toby. My pleasure as ever, and happy Easter to everybody.